Blog Talk Radio. A wonderful day, November 13th, 2010, and you're listening to Oracle Radio. We always broadcast live right here from the United States to all you wonderful people out there in the world. Wherever you might be, this show is for you. I'm Shinshuri, your host.
And I am Sumi, your co-host. And once again, I don't know what it is about these Saturdays when we have the shows, but where I am, it is a beautiful day, not too warm, not too cold, right in the middle, and I look forward to jumping into this conversation with you today, Shinshuri.
Me too, Sumi, because we have a very special guest with us today by the name of Valencia Ray, and I'm thanking her for bringing the topic, Who Do You Think You Are? That's what we're going to be talking about, but before I give her a formal introduction, all right, I have a few announcements, and there's been a lot of exciting stuff going on for us here over at Oracles of Truth, and we just want to remind all of our listeners that you can submit your request to be a guest host on this show any day of the week that you decide that you want to come on and bring a topic that is important to you. We want you to know you can reach us at www.oraclesoftruth.org, submit your request on the guest host forum, and we'll get in dialogue with you about the show topic of interest that you have. Or if you have a product or service and you want to also get in and start sharing more about your book, your product, your service, or whatever it is, we encourage you to reach out to us. We're here for you. We invite all of our listeners, when we're not broadcasting here on this show on Saturdays, to tune in to Oracle TV biweekly on Mondays and Wednesdays. And you can also find us on the Oracle TV show on oraclesoftruth.org as well. And we want to remind all of you, we have a number of listeners in our live chat already, okay? We want you to be encouraged, okay? Today's dialogue is about helping you have a breakthrough. And our guest is going to lead the way in helping us understand what she means by who do you think you are. And we want you to know you can share an example, an experience, or comment about the topic that we're going to be discussing today, and we have lots of questions, okay? And our call-in number, for those who are listening, 347-633-9540. Or if you don't want to have your voice on the radio, you can always type your comments and your questions in our live chat, and we'll take your comments and your responses there. This is your opportunity to connect, share, dialogue, and contribute. So definitely, without further ado, I'm going to move right into our pre-show, our previous show, do a review of that show, and then we'll delve right in and give our guest a formal introduction and get you hearing her wonderful voice and talking and dialoguing with her about her book, her tools, and all the wonderful things she's doing to make a difference for everyone, including herself. Okay? In our last show, I don't know if you remember this, Sumi, in our last show was entitled Manifesting Financial Success with Ramacio Fulcher. You remember that show? You remember
I sure
a couple
do.
Of weeks ago when we Yeah, it was a really powerful show. And he had a message for our listeners in that show. And pretty much his message was, you hold the key to your financial freedom. Okay? And when you get in action about manifesting that, you will be successful. So if you, for him, financial freedom is when you can have time and money in the same sentence. You remember that comment he made, Summy?
Oh, well, I mean, not verbatim. My feel of the entire show and his approach was not just keys to financial freedom, but once people make a determined, actually making a commitment to who they are and make a commitment to a direction, it's incredible what people can accomplish in their lives. Now, his focus was financial freedom, which is definitely a focus of mine and ours in our conversations. But I think you can take those and you could easily apply those to any number of factors as well.
Yes. But one thing that I took away from that show and that I let all of our listeners know is that freedom for me is what I seek, period. Just freedom. And I want that to be manifested in every aspect of my life, not just my pocketbook. Okay, so I want freedom in my relationships. I want freedom in my checkbook. I want freedom in my spiritual, you know, my spiritual essence and manifestation. I want freedom everywhere. I don't want to be constricted in any way. So that's what I took away from that and what I shared. But there was another powerful message that was being communicated, because Oracles of Truth is about making a difference for transforming ourselves and the world. And this is a golden opportunity, okay? What we talked about 2 weeks ago, that this golden opportunity to give more to yourself and others by exploring new ways and opportunities to leverage existing commodities, okay, products and services in a new way. So looking at ways to take advantage and leverage those existing things that are tried and true in the world, but expressing it in a different way. And how are we doing that? Well, here at Oracles of Truth, we're using the organo-gold concept, all right, to share how Oracles of Truth leverages old ideas in a new way. We think differently, and we live more than for ourselves. And one way we're expressing that is through our Oracle fundraising opportunities. And what you can do as a listener, as a person who is committed to yourself and others, you can get involved. You can reach out, and we have three ways you can do that. You can purchase coffee from us if you have a business, and your contribution by purchasing from us, you can actually support our educational programs and generate income for your business. The other thing you could do is donate, and when you make a monthly donation to us, you support our educational programs, and you receive a box of coffee each month and a tax deduction, because we are a 501c3 organization. And three, if you have a business or product or book or service, you can be a sponsor of our educational program, which supports tuition-free education and allow children and adults to receive the quality education they need tuition-free. And so you can do that as a sponsor and receive promotional services from Oracles of Truth by being a sponsor. So there's those three different ways that we were expressing financial freedom and success in all spheres of our organization. So without further ado, I'd like to move right into our main topic. Who do you think you are? All right. And our guest today, Valencia Ray. She was an ophthalmologist in Chicago, Illinois. She's a doctor. She has her MD. And she's bringing a scientific perspective to this whole awakening process. She gave up her medical practice to now work with individuals, entrepreneurs, and professionals to teach them how to break through major roadblocks in their life, which is what she calls cataracts of the soul. And I'm interested to know more about those cataracts, because I don't want no roadblocks and I don't want no blind spots. Okay,
yep.
She has a book out entitled Empower Up and Play Big, Winning at Life from the Inside Out. She also has a teleclass that is currently running, and we'll give you more information about that and how you can enroll and participate. Who Do You Think You Are is the title of that teleclass, and it's currently running right now, so you can get in early before it advances too further along the training schedule. And she also has a 7-step system to break through to the real you. She came to share her message with us today. It doesn't matter who you are, your identity, your role, or your label. If you're ready, you can help she can help, excuse me, she can help you retain your retrain your brain to break through to the real you. So you, are you ready is the question, to dump that inner critic? Are you ready to attract better relationships?
Okay.
Maybe you'd like to create more financial abundance. Whatever the case may be for you, Valencia Ray has the tools and experience to help you. So I'd like to welcome to our show Valencia Ray. Welcome, Valencia.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you for that introduction. Very gracious and generous there. So, yeah, I'm glad to be here. Thanks.
Oh, welcome. And one of my first questions I have for you, Valencia, is what caused you to leave your medical profession? Okay, because that's a big step. I mean, you're a doctor. You got a successful business. You're doing well for yourself. You're making a difference for people already in your medical profession, maybe giving them better eyesight and other things like that and counseling them. But what really, really motivated you and compelled you so much that you would actually sell your practice that's already making lots of money to come do this work and take a total shift from what you were trained to do?
Okay, that would be a great place to start. I will say, just in a nutshell, so that they can understand a little bit of what drives me and what lead up to such a decision, is I started out in life with a lot of turmoil, rejection, not liking myself, not loving myself because of those external voices and perceptions that I created in terms of believing them, so to speak. So just because we go into certain facts of our life, meaning situations, circumstances, and people, doesn't mean we have to accept what they project onto us, in that people can only project outside of themselves, in essence, who they think they are or how they see life. And if you believe that, then it becomes your reality as well. Einstein said many years ago, reality is an illusion, albeit a very persistent one. And it's an illusion, meaning there is no true just the way it is out there. It's really a combination of your own inner beliefs of how you see yourself, how you see life, because the brain and mind creates these perceptual stories and wires it into your body. And so that's something I'll address later. And alluding again to another quote that Einstein made, was that one of the most important decisions we make is whether or not we live in a friendly or hostile universe, because the way you see life through your perceptual system via your brain and nervous system is the way you will create your experience. And you think it's just happening to you, when really your brain and mind, being the missile-seeking machine that it is creating and looking for things in your environment, or creating stories in your brain to make you right as to what you already believe. So taking that back from, from a scriptural quote, and again, you can find what I'm about to say in any of the major religions, so it's not just defined by Christianity, but Jesus said, for example, be it unto you as you believe. And that's a truism. That's just the truth. It is done to you according as you believe. So in my early life, of course, children don't have a lot of logic. They have a lot of emotion, but not a lot of logic. And they are looking up to authorities. They're not able to take care of themselves, and they tend to live in a lot of fear. I mean, boogeyman under the bed, boogeyman in the closet, whatever. When you take that kind of a mindset that's timid, because it can't really defend, the child can't defend itself in life, and you have this authority figure where they want to be loved by that person, because we all, being human, we do have this need for relationship, and we do want to be cared for by those we feel bring us security. Combine that with the fact that the brain is wired, there's a center in the brain that has your sense of survival needs and feeling safe. That is going to alarm like crazy when you feel threat as a child, and you tend to put on these masks to defend yourself, to feel safe, to navigate the landscape. So you create a persona, by the way. Persona means mask, and it's the main root word of personality. So you create a personality to hide behind, to navigate in the world and function. And you're doing all of this at an unconscious level. Can you imagine a four-year-old realizing that they're doing this? Of course not.
Yes.
Now, the interesting thing is, though, science is showing that our memory is held in our body at a cellular level, and I'll go beyond that and say that there's also evidence that it's in your energetic field beyond your body, because you're surrounded by an energetic field radiating from your body, and that's another conversation, but still it's very real, that it's held there, and it gets into your nervous system initially via a place in the brain called the area of autobiographical memory. Now, this is a simplification, so I'm not going to get all technical and use quote-unquote big words and try to show you how smart I am or anything. But there is an area of the brain that in neuroscience circles can be called the area of autobiographical memory. So it's the story of who you think you are. And as that gets wired in there with all of that emotion, which really wires the energy of thought into the nervous system very strongly, it becomes your sense of identity. And once it slips into your unconscious awareness, which is literally running 90 to 95% of your life, you act from that place when you are not aware, and how very few people on the planet are quote-unquote aware. But I believe that's what's shifting right now, is waking up and becoming aware. So at an early age, I lived in an environment that I perceived as rejecting and threatening, yet fortunately I had a lot of courage and natural tendency toward relationships. So once I got in school, I made relationships fairly easily, took on leadership roles from the time I was in second, third grade, and then life was pretty good until junior high. It became very threatening, physically threat with the school environment I was in. Navigated through all that, developed a hostile universe viewpoint, and decided to be a doctor. I was an artist, dancer, musician as a child, naturally, and then I, in high school, at the senior year before launching off, I decided to be a doctor. I go through that. Fortunately, I was always good in school at everything I did, so I was able to handle the math and science well and became ultimately an eye surgeon. I didn't plan on that, but it certainly worked out well that way. Opened my practice. I was tended to be have the type of personality to be an entrepreneur, because I tend not to be easily boxed in. So I decided to be this entrepreneur, took off with that, yet, got married, children, everything. Everything that we are supposed to make us happy. You know, I had the money, had the family, had the handsome, wonderful husband, was still married 21 years, so it's not like messed up on that one. Or I didn't mess up on anything. I do want to say that, in that everything we go through is a part of our greater purpose, and the question is, how are you looking at it? Are you looking at it as, oh, I made a mistake? Or are you saying, okay, this showed up for a reason, and what can I learn from it? There's totally different ways. One empowers, one victimizes. So ultimately, after going through all of the hoops to get the things that were supposed to make me happy on the outside, which we're conditioned to believe, if we can just get that extra dollar bill or have that person like me or look a certain way or even get my health back, we think that that is the end-all, be-all, and that thing is going to make us happy. And really what happiness is going to come from is understanding who you are at an authentic core space, the essence of yourself, understanding how to trust that inner essence of life, spirit, and being able to accept and love not only that part of yourself, but the human being part of yourself without judging. Just start to understand that we're all doing the best we can. If we knew better, we'd do better. We grow from challenge, okay? So the one thing constant in life is change. So as soon as we give up the idea that we can control the universe and learn how to manage change starting from the inside out, then we could live more powerfully. Well, I had to go through that at some point. It really happened, really started smacking me in the early 90s that I needed to deal with that inner low self-image that developed in early childhood and deal with it. So I did, and fortunately I decided at that point to throw all my energy as much as I could, besides running a practice and raising children and everything else, of course, being married. But I really threw my attention into dealing with that inner part, that void that could not be filled by anything that I did or achieved or had. And by starting with that point, I ended up deconstructing a lot of the pain, getting better perspective, grew spiritually, and actually beat the neuroscience to the information that I'm going to share with you. I was incorporating these things without language and structure. I just intuitively knew and started from bits and pieces of teachings that I had from different authors with my own twist on it or insights, that it helped me to start to shift. And it was a process because I didn't have structure and I didn't have the science understanding, which I think definitely elevates your ability to shift quicker, because you cannot leave out the logical mind in this equation without a struggle. You're supposed to be a whole person. This isn't about being either or. I'm either spiritual or I'm not, or I'm using my logic or my intuition. To be a whole person and live an abundant whole life, you have to start integrating all of you. The logical mind is not the bad guy. It just needs the ego, which is residing in that our logical mind. Who do you think you are? That mental me just needs to be reconstructed, transformed, transmuted. It's really a mental construct. And getting in touch intuitively with that true inner essence of you, and dropping all of the shoulds and this is the way life is and my beliefs are better than your beliefs, and getting beyond that, which is really, again, another reflection of the ego, then you can start to make peace and bring the head and the heart together congruently, living as a whole person, being that spiritual person, living that human experience. But it's all one. It's not a dichotomy, a duality of either or. No, it's both. So I, after going through all of these changes and learning how to get back in touch with my intuition without squashing it, and looking at what I saw honestly and with courage, stopping the judgment of good and bad, and, you know, I shouldn't do this and all this nonsense, and understanding how the brain and mind was creating that even, I just started hearing very strongly in my intuition that it was time to sell the practice. It wasn't, I was a happy doctor. I had a thriving practice. I did not get bogged down by HMOs. I just didn't take them. I didn't have to. And things were well, but I really started hearing that it was time to go, and I thought that it would be 2015 at the time. It was 2006 at the time. And so after some internal struggle, because it was a big question mark, well, I knew that I would, when I was 12, I was given an insight that I would grow up and travel the world and teach people the secrets of the universe. I didn't know what that meant. I felt it, but I didn't know what that meant. So I, at one point, lost, in my 20s, I felt sad because I knew I had this mission, quote unquote. I just had no idea how to get there, and I thought, well, you know, it felt sad because, like, am I not going to ever get to do that thing, whatever it was, you know? But after deconstructing all of this stuff within me, clearing up those cataracts of the soul that I came to call them later on, I could see clearly my vision again, and it started percolating up again. So by 2006, I knew I would do it. I just thought it'd be after 2015, because that was when my son got out of high school. He's only eighth grade now. Back then, he was obviously even younger. And I have a daughter too. She's about to come out of high school, so they were younger. And ultimately, I heeded the voice because I had been through enough to learn trust, how to trust, even though I couldn't see the way. And once I said okay, all it took was listening to two guidance. It was a few months later, I was told, call another doctor, a physician. And just to clarify people, yes, I'm an eye surgeon. There's a distinction between ophthalmologist and optometry. So I removed cataracts from people's eyes, glaucoma, all kinds of things, surgical procedures. And so when I listened to my intuition, I was guided to call a particular doctor, get her attorney's name, because she had left ophthalmology a couple years before. She was older than me. And then she gave me that. And then a few months after that, I heard to call a particular person and just let them know I was thinking about selling my practice. And mind you, it was September 06, because I recorded it. That was when I said, okay, I'm going to go for this. I'll do it. What do I have to do? And that was when I heard in my heart, it will happen June 2007. Now, see, sometimes that's the thing. We want to say, okay, I want this great big thing, but we want all the little steps and details right now. And I did not get the next step until I was willing to let go of where I was. You can't launch out into the deep with one foot on the island. So when I launched out, then I heard, okay, it's going to be June 2007. So that was a coup. And not coincidentally, June 2007 was when my daughter was going to be coming out of high school, and we had also planned to go to Europe, and she was going to be changing school systems to come back into our area instead of going to the private school that was close to my office. She was going to have to come back here, and there was a little dilemma in my mind about, well, you know, juggling all that. So once I said, okay, those two things happened, it wasn't until December that I even heard the first step. In the meantime, I was addressing my inner, and this is what people don't understand either. When the heart and mind is not on the same page, you get paralyzed. You procrastinate. You get scared. You got to deal with your parts of yourself, so to speak. And there is literally something to that, okay? So during those months that I was waiting to understand what to do, because I didn't tell anybody but my husband and my mother. I didn't tell anybody I was going to sell my practice. I had internal things that were in conflict. I realized by reflection that my heart was pained a little bit in that I had not dealt with, while it was exciting, potentially to be going into this mission, there were parts of me that felt, oh, but you're leaving your patients. You know, and some of these patients have become like my relatives. I had been in practice for years. I started my practice in 1991. And some of them had been with me from the beginning. And then my employees, you know, so I had built like a community in the office, so it was like a family. And I had to deal with all that. And then once I dealt with that, then I got clearer again. And then behind that, you know, I heard the voice about the call. So I get the doctor, I get the attorneys that I'm going to work with. And I told them how much I wanted. I had to hear how much do I sell this for? This fair to both of us? And there were some things that I had to get from reflecting. I didn't just, you know, happen to accidentally do anything. There was an intention. The intention was to listen and follow my guidance. That was the intention. And once I talked to that attorney, I felt really good about it, and he just said, call him back when I had everything, in the buyer or what have you. And so here comes January, nothing. February, nothing. March, nothing. And my husband he said, well, I thought you said June. What's up? You know, it's the end of March. And this is my response. I'll never forget. I mean, I live this. I said, honey, until July 1 comes, it's June. I can't tell you anything else. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. See, folks, we got to get over this fear of disappointment. That's just another story. That's just another cataract.
That's right.
Okay?
That's right.
And
that's
we got to
right.
Start worrying about what somebody else thinks or says. So what? Okay? But I didn't tell a lot of people, of course, because I didn't want to upset my, you know, well, who's going to buy the practice? Oh, my gosh. You know, I wasn't going to create people around me sending me negative energy. So sometimes you just need to be quiet. You don't have to tell everybody because they can't see your vision. I didn't want to deal with people saying, what are you doing? Okay, you know, I didn't want to hear all that. I had already heard from my guidance. I learned to trust it enough. It was starting to happen, obviously. I was told to get this person's attorney, and that attorney was, to this day, someone I keep in contact with about my stuff. And I liked what I felt. Well, it was April, and right behind my husband asked me that, I started, once again, hearing call this particular person who had known me since my University of Chicago days, back when I was in residency, had risen up through the ranks and was a regional person in this big ophthalmic company and worked with physicians in the operating rooms and helped me with my equipment whenever I would change equipment and different things. I figured he would have know who was a good surgeon. So I thought, well, maybe that's why I'm calling him, because, you know, he would know who was a good surgeon and maybe kind of know what's going on in the Chicago landscape. So after hearing it a few times, admittedly, I didn't do it on the first time, but after a few days of being beat over the head to call him, I was literally on the way to school with the kids one morning, and I just said, stop and call him. And I did, you know, in that moment. And literally he picked up the phone 7:30 in the morning, And I just said, I am thinking about selling my practice. I didn't even tell him I was going to because I didn't want to put it out there to people, per se. And I said, don't tell anybody, but I'm thinking about selling my practice, and I'm looking for a person who's blah, 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 blah. And he just paused for like 30 seconds. And when he did that, I knew instantly that this must be the person. And he said, funny, you should call. Those were the first words out of his mouth. And he said it just like that. So I got chills because I knew it was coming. He said that just a week or two before, the person who literally bought my practice had just called him and said he to keep an eye open for anyone who's selling their practice because he had been looking for 2 or 3 years and couldn't find one and had hoped to have it by June when his wife came out of her glaucoma fellowship program so that he could get into his practice and get going because he had been an academic. And, I mean, his credentials are like through the roof. They look better than mine on paper.
Right.
He had been an academic physician, he was at Johns Hopkins, no less. And he had moved to Chicago and was working as an independent contractor looking to buy a practice. He had been doing it for 2 or 3 years, waiting for her to come out. And he was concerned he was going to have to start one because he couldn't find anything he wanted. And so when he told me that, I let him introduce me. And bottom line is that he, after getting my financials, he shook hands and said, will we make this happen in June? And mind you, it was April 10th, 2 months. The attorney said, forget it. We won't be able to get this done before September at least. And at any rate, right, with the power of faith and collaboration, the deal closed June 14th, 2007.
All right.
That just reinforced that I was hearing right and time to move on and to my next phase and learn my new landscape that I've had to go through.
Right. And I'm so excited about your journey and your story here. There's a lot of dialogue that's been going on based on what you've been sharing and also based on questions that I posed based on what you've been sharing. But before I do, I want to give my co-host, Sunny, a chance to share what's coming up for him and any comments that he might have. And then I want to share what the listeners are saying based on what you were sharing and based on the questions that I asked in the chat based on what you were saying so we can get some dialogue around that and then go and then move forward and get into talking about your book and some other thing, your tools and stuff. So, Samia, is there anything that's coming up for you that you'd like to...
Well, the story that Valencia was sharing about being a young girl and having this vision at a very early age about going around the world and teaching people, what was the word that you used?
The secrets of the universe.
and that really resonated with me when I heard you mention that. There's a few things that came up to mind. I'm thinking about how you came to this this perspective, how you came into this knowledge of who you are. Takes me back to Socrates, and Socrates says that, we find out who we are not by being taught, but through the process of remembering who we are.
Right.
And I see you as an adult and a professional, and I see this little girl, I have now 8 or 9 years old, and it's like you're coming into the remembrance of who you were way back then, but you're bringing it to fruition now. And I kind of get that feel. I'm not sure if you see it similar to that. And I know I also had a question about the friendly or hostile universe.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts about the friendly or hostile universe, that these are things that people are born into or these are mindsets that people adapt? How exactly?
Okay, I can definitely address that. Okay, early on, I absolutely believe it's a remembering process, remembering who you are. Because we come in here, these bundles of light, you can see it in the face and in the eyes, and it gets covered over. It gets covered over by ignorant but well-meaning adults who are, they came in as light balls, and they got covered over. So they're just perpetuating it out of ignorance, and ignorance just means they don't know better. So you get this, the ego need in the brain is to keep you alive and survive. And the ego, by the way, I want to make it really, really clear, It is not the enemy. I do not believe that you should try, and by the way, you won't be able to get rid of your ego and live as a human being. And what I mean by that, ego just is Latin for I, and it's just the false self, so to speak, the persona on the stage of life. As Shakespeare said, all the world's a stage, all the men and women, merely players. So it gives you your sense of self to pretend that you are separate from life as an individual. For those of you who would love to see a living example of what I'm talking about, go pick up Dr. Jill Bolte Taylor's book called, what's her book called? My Stroke of Insight. Before she came out with that book, I had gotten this insight about the difference between ego and self and spirit. And because of even my neuroscience helped me to understand that. But I didn't know how to articulate it well to other people, and also I didn't have a living example of it. It was still in the realm of my insight, but no tangible example. Well, her book, she's a Harvard neuroscientist who had a stroke on the left side of her brain. That's the area of autobiographical memory. It's on that side of the brain. It's your logical, linear sense of self, sense of separation, and so that you can feel like a unique, separate individual and see yourself as separate from the rest of the world. It's all perception based in the three-dimensional system of your brain and nervous system. You're wired to be able to perceive this way so we can play the game of life, so to speak. Well, her brain knocked out, her stroke knocked out that part in and out. It was a gradual stroke where it would go up and down out of awareness. And when she would go down, she couldn't even dial the phone to get help because her language and her linear and her thinking capacities dropped off. And she would feel like she was floating and attaching in nirvana and blending into the wall and all with one with all life, okay? And so she kept going in and out of this. But fortunately for her, she was able to get help enough before she dropped out again and lost consciousness or whatever, and they got an ambulance to her. It took her 7 years to recover. But the point is she's back in recovery. And you can even Google Jean Bolte, Bolte. I'm saying it might be Bolte, but if you know, my stroke of insight. Anyway, if you get that perspective, you understand what I mean by you can't get rid of your ego. We've labeled the ego as something bad and unspiritual. All the ego is that part of your brain that I call in my book the mental me. Neuroscience calls it autobiographical memory. It just gives you the ability to walk in a room and say, "Hi, my name is Valencia," and feel like a sense of individual, and it allows you to, it protects you on the three-dimensional plane, meaning it is connected to survival to the extent that you need to be able to tell people no. You need to be able to keep people out of your space so that you can cultivate your gifts and talents. You need to be able to have a sense of self to play the game of life, because if you're all, you know, airy-fairy and we're all just connected all the time, you can't play the human game. It allows you to be human. The key is to break down who you think you are, the perceptions, the cataracts that have covered over the light of the essence that you really are, the sense of you, the consciousness of you. The quantum physics calls it the observer. In spirituality, you might call it the true self, the authentic self. There's all kinds of names for it.
Chills over here.
Okay, I'm saying that's the real you. That's the consciousness awareness. And by the way, in my book, when I talk about the brain being the hard drive and your consciousness or your mind being the computer program software, I wrote that book before this comment I'm just going to share with you that you can read in Time Magazine this week by a world-renowned physicist. So I just want to let you know that you don't have to be a world-renowned scientist to have insight. You may not be given the respect as an expert by society, but you don't have to wait for permission when you are very clear that you know something from your own experience, because that's what I made that analogy from, not neuroscience saying it, but that was the experience I had. There is a gentleman named Stephen Hawking. I don't know if you've ever heard of him, but he wrote all kinds of really deep physics books. And he's like the equivalent of an Einstein living these days. There is a quote in him in the November 15th, 2010 Time Magazine where they interviewed him. He says, quote, I think the computer is essentially, I think the brain is essentially a computer, and consciousness, the computer program, Stephen Hawking. Okay?
Sure.
So here's the deal. Yes, I knew who I was. I was starting to awaken who I was at you know, around 12 or so and questioning why am I here and what's the bigger picture of life. I had a diary at that age, so I was reflecting even then. And then I go through life between other people labeling you, telling you you'll never do this, you can't do that, you're ugly, you're this, blah, blah, blah. You start wiring that as a computer program into your computer and believing that, and it covers over the light of who you already are. And because we're not trained and taught as young children how to stay connected to that light. So we want to be loved and accepted. So we start doing what we're told to do and think the way we're told to think. Stop that imagination. Grow up, you know, and all this kind of stuff. So you put all that creativity and playfulness and joy, which is directly linked to your spirit and your creativity, under the rug, and you try to live in your logical mind. And that's out of balance because it crushes the heart. So now you're only in your head, and you got all this fear going through. So if that answers the first question, and then as far as this friendly and hostile universe, it plays right into that. The friendly or hostile universe is self-created. And you can say, well, how do you say that if you grew up in a ghetto? Well, hey, I didn't grow up necessarily in my neighborhood. You weren't getting gunned down on the street, so I understand it could be worse. But I did not grow up in a very pleasant environment. So how did I get there? Well, there's a lot of dynamics involved. We don't know what your life purpose is. Maybe you need to learn certain things. Maybe you had karma. Maybe you just wanted to go through that adventure and that experience and see if you could come out on the other side. You can get really deep with that. The point is, at the end of the day, whether or not you stay there, how you get yourself out, it all is going to boil down to what you believe about life. When I, back in that day, even though I had the trappings of harsh realities or challenges, and it was a hostile universe, yes, there were things in my environment that reinforced that. But I'm going to tell you, there were a lot of things in my environment that showed me that I could be loved and supported too. But I tended after a while to not notice them or to cast them aside. There were people coming up to me saying, wow, you're a model. And because I believed I was ugly, I didn't see it. I was like, get out of here. You know, you're trying to be insulting. Okay, it had to do with my inner perception as to how I was seeing life. And so because I believed that life was hard and hostile, I kept creating that over and over again because your mind and nervous system's goal, once you wire the belief in there, its goal is to make you right and keep you safe within the belief system you live.
Wow.
Within, okay? It's that powerful.
Yeah.
It's very, very powerful. It's the key. It's the link between spirit and physical. Spirit, you got all this light and love, but it has to filter through your brain and nervous system. And you're wired. That's how we co-create. We co-create because we have the point of choice as to what we do with this life force that runs through our bodies, and we are the thing in the way that is creating the form. So it has to run through your nervous system, and then that nervous system acts in two ways. Number one, it's going to impact what you find in your environment to focus on, and whatever you focus on expands. You're going to tend to focus on what you believe. So even if the evidence is right there, people coming up to me saying, wow, you're a model and all this, even though other people are saying these things, I can't see it. So I keep focusing on the people who are putting me down or the things in life that is dragging me down or making it hard. You know, we've got to work hard for the money. Okay, so you keep doing things to work hard for the money and then saying, oh, life is that way. Well, hey, I noticed the guy who created Facebook is a multi-billionaire. That doesn't look like he worked too hard to me. He's just lucky. See, your environment, your mindset will make you say stuff like that. Oh, he's just lucky. Like, it can't happen for you. So, yeah, so your brain and mind goes, oh, okay, I can do that too. I can make your life hard for you and make it impossible for you because that's what you are wiring me to do. It's just your servant. It's just your genie. It's just trying to keep you right. So
Right. Then
when I switched all that inner perception, when I started loving myself first, okay, guys, forget about forget about these great loving relationships. If you can't even love yourself, why are you expecting somebody else to love you and you don't even love yourself? Okay, so once you get to the bottom of that, then you start attracting who you are, who you think you are. I think now, I'm happy with the way I look. I don't care if anybody likes it or not, but I don't consider myself ugly. I like myself. I love myself, and I don't care if you don't. What does that have to do with anything?
All
and
right.
So therefore, what ends up happening is I keep attracting people now who are more supportive and loving, because the ones who even show that they are whatever, you know, unsupportive, I don't have time for them. I don't let them in my world in the first place. People can't become in relationship with you unless you cooperate. So they're not making you do anything. It's just that you're drawing in the reflection. It's like life is a big mirror to reflect back to you, because just like you can't see the tip of your nose, you can't see what you are unconsciously believing. And life is the mirror to show you who you really think you are, not just in your head, but in your heart. So you have to cover all that up, and then you'll see the world friendly like I do now. I used to see it hostile. Now I see it friendly, and as last I checked, I was still on planet Earth.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Until you raise your consciousness and realize like you can move and leap between planets.
Well, that's that parallel universe theory here. You know, we all living on the same planet, but which dimension are you on, so to speak?
I'm so glad you said that, because that's what I call the ego. The ego aligns with what you said about ego is Latin for I. It's a disposition of the mind. It's really you, but your alter version of you. It's not
the real you.
That's
right.
You
that's right,
to me.
The
it's
ego
the alter
is
version
the
of the real you.
Yeah, it's the persona, okay? It's the role. It's the human role on the stage. Think of the ego as a character on the stage of life. All the world's a stage. And all you're doing, not rejecting your ego. You don't want to reject your ego because you're rejecting, quote, unquote, a part of yourself, meaning psychologically part of yourself, okay?
Yes.
It's an energy of
used to do it.
Yourself. You're used to doing it. You see through life through it, okay? So what you want to do is approach it with an open, courageous mind and say, what is this mental me? It might have served me at one time when I was a kid, believing that the world was hostile kind of fueled my fire to get out of there, okay? So it's not that it was always a bad way of thinking, but it no longer serves me. Now it's holding me back. So now we need to update this computer software program and give it a new role. We need to thank it, because it did help you some way. If you're here alive in this moment, some way it got you here. Be grateful. Stop beating yourself up, putting yourself down. Shame and guilt is nothing but another computer program story, okay? It's not what happens. It's the meaning you're assigning to it. So it's a matter of understanding how we perceptually assign meanings to things. And this is all now being studied very clearly in neuroscience. For example, they did a study where people saw a picture of people crying outside of a church. And they were recording their brain patterns while they were looking at this picture. And when they thought it was a funeral, they lit up areas that aligned with emotions of sadness or, you know, fear or what have you. When they were told, oh, no, it's not a funeral, it's a wedding, and those are tears of joy. Another part of the brain lit up. Okay, a different part.
I want to ask you a question, another question that just came as you were saying that about when I said about the disposition of the mind. There's been times, and I'm just going to share this experience, there's been times when I have wakened up out of sleep and have felt as though the room, the house was like a veil, like I could pull down the tapestry of the wall and I could pull down and that the real reality would be exposed, like it wasn't real, felt like being in this environment and it's not real.
I
don't know how many other people felt that, but I feel it a lot when I wake up, right out of coming out of sleep.
Right.
And then there's been times where I've done it and it's been when I come out of meditation.
Right.
And I just wondering, you know,
Can I speak to that in terms of science?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, first of all, when you're in a dream state, you're in a different brainwave pattern. you're going to be in that deeper pattern where the mind, the ego part, and again, I have to emphasize the ego is not the enemy. It's your choice of will to deal with these perceptions that you keep wiring in that ego, okay? So, but the ego, when you're in that dream state or that meditation state with that those lower brainwave patterns, you're more at the level of energy of your essence apart from the mind ego part of the mind, okay? And as you become more awakened from meditation and sleep, which is similar brainwave states, then that ego part that allows you to be human and navigate and operate at a level that feels disconnected from all that is so that you can be an individual starts to take over. Like I said, that brain is that filter between those two worlds, that physical world of your house and being in a bed that's tangible, and that spiritual world that is invisible that you can't see. It's coming through that ego, nervous system, brain, and mind. And strictly speaking anyway, from a quantum physics standpoint, everything is energy. And 99% of everything in terms of your chair and your floor and your walls is nothing but empty space. It's energy at a certain vibration that seems solid to your brain and nervous system. That's all. Okay, your body, it feels solid perceptually because that's the way the universe has set this up. For us to be human, quote unquote, to be in this physical form, your senses. Because just for example, come on, we know dogs can hear things we can't hear. It doesn't mean that the sound isn't there. Our nervous system is just not set up to hear vibration at that level. Bats, they can't see well, but they pick up vibration. So, this is a way you're patterned and wired. And just because you can't see, touch, feel, smell, whatever, doesn't mean it's not real. It's just the way the human body is wired and designed so that we can act as humans and use consciousness, awareness, in terms of our power of choice to pretend, quote unquote, that this is a physical, real reality. This is really more like a virtual reality. You're playing a virtual reality game, but you're just lost in it. You stop believing it's a virtual reality, and you got lost in the matrix. That's all it is.
That's what we've said.
So now that we have the
about giving projections and creating this movie image in front of us,
right?
And we create the world around us that we need to see, and sometimes that's at a very low vibratory rate, and be the hostile world,
yes.
Or sometimes very high vibratory rate, which would be the friendly world. Just depends
absolutely
on which one you want to
line up. And can I say the heart of that is who do you think you are? You will not rise above or beneath your self-image. Okay, when certain people lose all their money and they make it back in a year, it's because their self-image thermostat is set at I am rich, and they believe it. Okay, I'm supposed to have the best in life, and they believe it. So their nervous system acts as a missile-seeking radar to find and come up with ideals to create that environment that matches their self-image. When you come from a place of, I'm not good enough, my family can't ever have anything, and you're holding on to images of the past of how maybe your ancestors were treated and you're angry about it and all this, you are holding the current version of you in that pattern to keep creating the chaos and drama that's going to keep you there. You won't be able to be free until you free your mind. Nobody can do that for you. You cannot legislate it. You cannot do it. The nervous system and brain has to be updated because it is extremely powerful in making you right as to whatever you believe.
I think we need different think tanks to give people the opportunity to fully express who they are and find out, the environment. Is so such a pinnacle place to be in terms of creating this new image of who you are. I've worked with children and families for so long that the image sets in at a very young age, and then they play it out from age 5 all the way to 55, 75, and they never realize that there are other realms that they could actually actualize on.
Now, here's the thing. Here's the key, and this one takes a lot of discipline. The reason why what you just said is, you know, not easily true, because what you keep focusing on is what on a day-to-day in the moment. See, each moment we get to choose again. We get to recreate. So because we have no idea that we have this inner world, because we have no idea that how the brain and mind even work, we keep our attention focused on what we've already created, what we already see, where we already are. And we keep looking at it, and we keep thinking about it, and we keep feeling it. And on a day-to-day, moment-to-moment basis, we keep wiring in and reinforcing the brain patterns, which literally is a wired pattern, into our bodies over and over again, deeper and deeper, stronger and stronger and stronger. Now, there's two ways to help initiate that process, of course. One is physically putting a person, like you're saying, in a better environment and then helping them with their brain to switch it. However, because here's the key, you can put them in a better environment. If you don't change that brain and consciousness, well, how long do you think they're going to stay in that environment? Or how long do you think it's going to be before that environment doesn't turn into their old environment? They're going to turn it into their old environment. There's been studies that shows that years ago. That's nothing new. But since everybody can't just be, like, lifted out of their environment and put in a different environment, the next thing to do, which is essentially what I did, okay, because I didn't. It's the mental part. Somebody didn't just come and pluck me out of my environment and stick me over here. I began changing on the inside of my mental pictures and my feelings, because studies show, it's a scientific fact, that the brain and mind cannot distinguish between something vividly imagined and something actually happening. So the key is that you have to be able to be disciplined enough, though. That's what makes it so challenging when you're in an environment that is negative and pulling you down. The challenge is when you're trying to change, holding that mental picture with faith and believing in your heart that you have the power to create something differently. And if you can hold that long enough where it gets into your subconscious and your body, miracles, quote unquote, seem to happen, because synchronistic things start to happen. All of a sudden, somebody shows up and an opportunity magically happens, and you go, oh, wow, I'm lucky. What a coincidence. No, okay? The key is to shut out mentally and start to recognize that this drama going around you is not the reality, it's a reality, and that you're co-creating a different one, but you're going to have to be. That's why vision boards are helpful. That's why well, here, I'm going to tell you the bottom line before we get done with this call.
Before you do that, we have a caller. We have a caller that probably wants to say something based on what you're saying. And then can you share that? Can you share that and hold it while we take this call?
But with this call, I'm just going to say in 2 seconds, cellular memory in the body is what's holding a lot of people back. You have to start addressing the cellular memory and how to get it out. It does make it a lot easier. Okay, done.
Okay. So we have a caller that just called in. Also, I extended the show because this is just too powerful and too deep for me to be going in. We have a caller. The number is 11111. It's like all ones. If you have something that you want to ask of the guests, definitely do so. You're on the air.
Hi, beautiful ones. This is Radia from New York. That's a Skype call.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing excellently on this Saturday afternoon, and I'm going to make a comment. It's not a question. You know, I heard your guest say that to a certain extent we're locked into this physical reality. I just want to give, maybe it's the same thing that she's saying, but a different perspective. It's almost a paradox. I believe that in this reality there are many paradoxes in which we live in this illusion. And one of them, I believe to be, is that we seem to be locked into this physical reality, but we're really not. And what
That's
I mean by that is, yeah. So we are on the same page. When you go to sleep.
Yeah, no, we're not locked in. That's what I'm saying. That's the illusion. Reality is an illusion. You're not locked in. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, well then, never mind. I won't make my comment. I was gonna say something, but I'll keep the rest of the comment to myself.
Yeah, it's perception that makes you think you're locked in because you're not aware.
But I was going to add to what you were saying.
Oh, okay.
But you have so much information and coming forth. I don't want to break your train of thought. Okay.
Right. It's coming through, and I'm just going to let it come through because it's powerful. It's deep. It's so enlightening. It's so powerful. So there was this question I threw out in this live chat earlier, and the question that I had was related to everything that you were sharing. And as you were talking, and there was a lot of responses that we got from it, and the response, the question was, how much of reality do we create ourselves versus how much is created for us? And
mm-hmm.
and it hits at what you're saying, but some people, like you said, the ego gets them trapped, and the idea is to help them stay untrapped so they're not getting stuck and that they are able to recognize that you are creating everything and other people are creating too, so there's this co-creative process go on. How do you stay in sync or in balance? Like, you know,
okay.
How do you
I think I get it. Because I know we're coming to the end, so we might have to have part two another time. But
okay.
I'm just saying that, first of all, humble yourself and understand that you do not know all of the reasons that the universe does things. You do not have all the answers. I don't care how brilliant you are. Some of it is just going to have to be mystery. So therefore, some of the things that we go through show up just as part of, as I said earlier, our purpose, to prepare us for our purpose. I have a purpose that is to help people to inspire to themselves and to empower themselves. Well, I had to go through a lot of valleys in order to be able to synthesize this information experientially and not just be a textbook, which is not going to really be real, so to speak. And so that's something I took on apparently at the level of my soul and life purpose. Now, some of these experiences you go through, the key, though, where you have some sway in there, it's going to be your choice as to how you respond to it. Responsibility for me is the ability to respond, okay? It's not this heavy thing of you should do anything. It's how do you respond to the circumstances that show up. And all of that is going to connect back again to that brain nervous system perception. Am I going to cling to being a victim, or am I going to let it go? Am I going to step up, or am I going to die here with my gifts locked inside of me because I refuse to have the courage to go through looking at my inner stories, okay? So what comes first, the chicken or the egg? Some of this is not neat and predictable, and that's why science until now has really had a problem even dealing with issues of consciousness because they wanted everything neat and predictable. 1 + 1 = 2, okay?
Exactly.
That's not the way life works. So I would say humble yourself to recognize that when you hit some type of block where you're not understanding why am I going through this or how can I get the best out of this, you need to have a spiritual connection. You can call it God, spirit, whatever you want. Just understand that there, and from my point of view, there is a higher force that is the essence of all of life that does have all the answers because it's infinite intelligence, and that's where you have to tap in to that field and understand the answers as it specifically relates to your life and your life purpose so that you can live at that great big level. Because wherever you live, even if it's down in this lower level, it's none of it's bad. It's not bad or good, right or wrong. It's just that at the end of the day, that's going to be your life experience. So what do you want? What do you want with it?
Right. And yes, it does. And
yeah.
Thank you for sharing that because there was a lot of comments in the live chat about that. And we don't have time to go through it all right now, but I just want to say thank you. You are a very powerful being. You have a lot of radiant energy that's projecting outward. I feel it over here in California. It's coming through the airwaves. It's coming through, darling.
Well, you know, that's the quantum
you.
Physics principle. There is no separation. It is. You don't have to be in the physical space to feel somebody's energy.
Right.
Wow.
So I just want to know, I'm feeling you. I'm feeling your energy, and it is feeling good.
Oh, thank you. That's sweet. That's sweet. I was just going to let everybody know, as far as my website, the website is www.valenciaray.com. I'm going through a branding change, so you might see a lot of goofy stuff going on in the website a little bit right now because the content is shifting over, just some technical difficulties. So I think you have some other links, Teme, as far as who do you think you are, they can get the download. of a pre-teleclass I did a couple weeks ago, and that's probably the main thing. My book is found on Amazon under my name, if you've looked for that. I used my life in that book. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so for those who are interested in reaching out and connecting with Valencia, I'm telling you, if you were touched, moved, and inspired by the show, you need to get in contact with this woman. You need to be engaged and be in get connected. That's all I'm going to say. Her book is entitled Empower Up and Play Big, okay? There's a subtitle, but I'm not going to – you just know you can go to Amazon and you can get it. You can get on her website. Is www, I put it in the live chat, is valenciaray.com, and you can also sign up for her existing teleclass that's actually running right now through December, through the month of November and December. It just started, so you have the opportunity to actually get in now, and you can, I'm typing it in the live chat right now. You can go there, valenciaray.com. Who do you think you are? And it's the seven-step system that we didn't get a chance to get to because she just has so much information to share. We're gonna try to get her back on the show and do a part two and really
and
get Tammy, you guys.
Tammy, I'm sorry. Yes. Let me just say this one thing. That who do you think you are is going to give you a download that you can listen to. And within that download is going to give you the information for the link for the teleclass, which is further information. So that link that you're giving them right now is the link to get an MP3 download of the class. And within that is the other information, too.
Yes. So just want to let you guys know, connect with Valencia. She got the tools to help you. If you want to know more about what she's doing and how she's expressing this and getting it out there to people, you can get engaged. You can be in part of what she's doing. And you can get some training. We want to let you know we broadcast live biweekly on Saturdays. In the weeks when we're not broadcasting, listeners may access our show archive via the Oracle Learning Community, iTunes, or here on Blog Talk Radio. You may also find us on Facebook, Twitter, MySpace, YouTube, and other social media sites. Don't forget to follow us in your Blog Talk Radio profile and become a friend. Also, visit the Oracle Learning Community today to become a member because we have lots of tools and education that we're giving tuition-free to keep you engaged, stimulated, and inspired by being actively engaged with others on a similar or different path. If you want to be a part of what we're doing, definitely sign up and become a member. Join us in 2 weeks for our very special show topic entitled Together as One with one of our very own devout listeners who brought this topic to us, and he also has a show on Blog Talk Radio, Dream Master. Okay, so he's coming, and this topic is there's only one of us. Come participate in the live dialogue. And we're having it next week, as Dream Master shares the message of oneness. You see me, and I see you, only because we have gotten lost in the illusion. Get over yourself, okay? So that's the message, and we're going to make that clear, and hopefully it'll expound on what we just talked about here today. And we want you to know, join the live discussion to connect, share, communicate, learn, and share your viewpoints and perspective right here, Solamente Aquí, on Oracle Radio. And I'd like to thank everyone who commented, made contributions today, and who called in. And I'd like to give my co-host a chance to say his final remarks.
Oh, we definitely need a part two to this conversation. I really appreciate the integration of both science and matters of spirit, or as it was mentioned, in terms of logic and the heart. And that's where that deep paideia or that deep education really comes from. So I definitely appreciate it, though, and I'm looking forward to it. It was a true pleasure. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend,
thank
everyone.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Have a great day.
The ideas and views expressed, shared, and communicated are not designed to limit, change, dispel, or ridicule individual ideas, religious convictions, beliefs, or unique mindsets. Our intent is to challenge conventional views in ways that may or may not have been exposed and debated before. The goal is to educate, enlighten, inspire, and provoke new ideas, viewpoints, and creativity in any and everyone who is willing to listen, communicate, and share their own ideas, beliefs, and perspectives. By sharing, we may be empowered to collectively transform our world and live according to supreme design as well as our own in ways that will transcend our present reality.